American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting from the Internet for Monday, August the 23rd, 2009. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the Wall Global Sitwep on core political, tyrannic technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, give it away to other people. Spread the virus. It's not fair that only you're infected. You can follow up on all of these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to Sean, S-E-A-N, underscore Kennedy, dot livejournal.com, which a surprising amount of people think that actually says seen. Ask somebody named Sean about it. They'll tell you about it. This is a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, RedMercury.se, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, Second Life, Known Archers, every Thursday at grid 155746666. And let's not forget, we're in simulcast to on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 66.73 kilohertz. And let's not forget, now we have Rant in Space. We have finally, thanks to the dedicated work of a few people, not least of which being my beautiful and talented co-host, Samarian.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yes, we're in space now.
We are. Well, we will be. We will be. As of
we will be. This Friday. Tomorrow.
9 p.m. Zulu, which is actually 3 days ago, right? Because,
That's right.
This is the problem with temporal shifting.
No, they're in the future. They're in the future.
No, well, yeah, but when they hear this, right, we'll be in the past. This is the problem shifting. You know, this is, you know, your actual, your topography of where you are and in relation to time and space, because it's all happening at the same time, right? So actually, now, the show is on, depending on what frequency you're listening to. I've had to get this all down for the new book, right? Like, because I've got to bring all this stuff in for the new book. And, God, it's hard to keep this stuff. I'm surprised that the people who wrote Doctor Who did such a good job of it. I really am. You know, like the whole ethersphere and everything is just difficult. But thank God you got the new website done in time for the satellite feed. I mean, this is like,
yes, all the throngs of people from the UK watching the trolling on Sky Channel 200.
Well, I mean, the great thing about this, I mean, we're totally. This is like the British invasion. You know, is what we're doing here. This
that's
is like,
all the Brits will be coming in now,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, well, we're going to be getting, like, we're going to be huge in England. This is going to be just fantastic. So, 9 p.m. Zulu translates out to 1 p.m. Pacific, or Second Life time, and, or 4 p.m. Eastern time, 4:30, I guess, if you're in Newfoundland. So, you know,
yes, and if even if you don't have Sky TV and you don't live in the UK, they do have a web stream that you can go to Controversial TV or what's the other name of it? Edge Media.
Right.
And check out their stream. So wherever you are in the world at whatever time, it's all okay, and you can just watch it there. And make sure you let them know that you like patrolling and you like seeing it on their station.
Have you actually gone over there and clicked on anything yourself, Sam? Because I did just before now. I went over there and I was clicking around.
Yes.
I clicked on their gallery. And they're like they're like totally us. Like they're completely us.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
I know, that's
like,
why we fit.
Yeah. I'm like, hi. So we all like get along here. I was like looking at, you know, any number of like people who I would count as fans, people you'd meet at a convention. Or
oh, yeah,
like
we
that.
Could drop in there in 2 seconds. They can drop in here, and you wouldn't even notice. It'd be all the happy, happy family.
Yeah, it sounds like it's pretty cool. And, you know, hey, Talk about proof is in the pudding. Apparently, they showed up in the forums and were asking some questions, and people were kind of rude to them or something like that. Which, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
the guy who dropped in was a little bit not quite on the ball, and he was just posting stuff all over the forum. He was trying to get in contact with me, essentially, and he had no clue how to do that. So he was just dropping
throwing
everything.
Just everywhere. He's like, I'm lighting a fire
seeing what
over
sticks.
Here.
And, yeah. You know. And he definitely got my attention because a number of people emailed me, something's going on in the forum. Some guy is causing havoc. And so I got it straightened out after a bit and calmed everybody down and, and you know, got it going and sent our patrolling episodes over to the UK over there. And,
yeah.
And now they're broadcasting on satellite television.
Wow. Well, that's great. Well, I know V's been over there, and he's been doing some stuff for a while. And we got a few other British dudes who've been over there doing some stuff.
Well, we're pretty big. We're pretty big in Britain. Yeah,
yeah.
We got a lot of fans over there, so
well,
this will be
you
good
know,
for
hey,
them.
Somebody
and,
sent me a flag off of a Scottish castle, which I'm looking at right
nice.
Now. You know, so I'm pretty.
Nice.
I'm stoked. You know, hey, it's we got peeps, man. We got mad peeps everywhere. We're like, you know, the Teflon tape on the series of tubes. That's what we are.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And I got a Twitter post back from somebody who said that they do have Sky TV, subscribe to that satellite, and they're going to tape it for me and see if they can shoot it over to me so I can see it.
That'll be awesome if it's actually on a videotape.
Yeah.
We should totally
We
should totally hook it up so we can meet somebody at a gas station and like buy the tape or something. That'd be really hot. So I could relive my.
Well, she lives in the UK, so she'll have to, you know, ship it over to us. We can't exactly unless we want to go over to the UK and buy it in a gas station.
Oh, I don't think they have gas stations in the UK. I think they just have like
they have petrol stations.
They have like personal rape booths that they've set up. So if you want anything, you just go in there, and you know, essentially they like you know completely violate any rights that you may think that you have, and you know.
Yeah, it's all broadcast on CCTV from five angles.
That's right. So that you know, and it's big fun. You know, it's seriously big fun for all the people watching. They think it's fantastic. You know, but
oh yeah,
you know, not so much for the little guy. You know what I mean? But that's okay. If I can think of a country that needs to get some patrolling with Sean Kennedy on the air, Britain is number one. I mean, realistically, there's some scary stories that are going to be coming out from across the pond in tonight's patrolling. But so let's enough of accolades to us. I'm going on a satellite channel, so that better get put on. Is that on the Wikipedia article now? Because I think this finally gives us justification.
It will be shortly.
It will be shortly? Okay, good.
We are notable. Yeah.
No, that's not noticeable. Patrolling is just noticeable. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Just patrolling is notable.
Patrolling
now. Nothing else.
Nothing else matters. Okay, here we go. Dear Sean, you know, I shouldn't be an asshole. I'm such a jerk. I'm sorry. You know, I'm kind of...
You're so awful, Sean.
I'm pretty mean.
Jeez.
I'm a little mean. That's kind of a... How can I sit there and do this show?
What if we wanted to interview Jimbo Wales on our show, and he'd be like, I've listened to your past episodes.
And I'd have no idea. I'd be like, and why would I care that you listened to the past episodes? Who's Jimbo Wales?
Like, Jimbo Wales is the guy who pretty much essentially started Wikipedia.
Oh, well, that'd be awesome. You shouldn't have told me that. You should have set that up, and then we could get it all on the air. I'd be like, oh, really? Oh, well, hey, what happened there, you know? I don't think, I really don't. I don't think it'd be a huge screaming issue, but it's just, you know, the internet is a petty, petty place. Okay, so let's get into some feedback and away from that den of snakes. Dear Sean and Sim, I recently had several conversations about you with my better half. And I mean this quite literally. She doesn't like you very much. Being my wife and mother of my child and a war veteran, I'm often compelled to try to understand why she makes the decisions she does. Yeah, well, I would be too. It turns out she doesn't like you very much because you yell almost compulsively and make snap judgments about things you aren't familiar with. Well, yeah.
That's the charm. That's the charm.
That's
of
part
Sean.
Of the whole shtick. Anyway, the example, she tends to refer back to your analysis of The Watchmen. Ah, ha, ha. Remember how I said I was going to catch shit for The Watchmen? Remember I said that?
Yes.
I've catched
shit. Around.
This is me catching shit about The Watchmen. Yeah, that's totally what's happening here. The whole point, how you somehow came up with the idea that the whole point of The Watchmen was the story of Rorschach. We both agree that this could not be further from the truth. In fact, the central premise of The Watchmen is the realization that more, with every person, there is a seed of evil. The anti-heroes in The Watchmen are dramatizations, highlighting the extent of our own inherent evil and apparent lack of anything truly pure. To quote Alan Moore, writing as Rorschach, "You see, Doctor, God didn't kill that little girl, fate didn't butcher her, and destiny didn't feed her to those dogs. If God saw of what any of us did that night, he didn't seem to mind. From then on, I knew God doesn't make this world this way, we do." But I'm getting away from the point. I'm giving you your opinion about The Watchmen, good, bad, or different. You changed a lot of people's minds about that story. I know you're just a guy, not to be placed on some pedestal you worshipped, but where does your responsibility end and the responsibility of your audience begin? It is worth mentioning that a significant part of your audience are young and impressionable. Think of the children, whether they believe they are or not. Thank you for your time. Sean and Sim, keep fighting the good fight. And name withheld for obvious reasons. I think it's a charming letter. Charming letter. Anybody who thinks that movie is a movie about a guy named Rorschach is completely correct. I mean, that's what the movie's about. There is a guy named Rorschach in the movie, and
there is
kind of a central.
I saw
character.
Him in there,
and yeah, it's a movie about a guy named Rorschach. And well, it's mostly.
I think from now on, before Sean gives any opinions, we should put it to a poll and put it to a democratic vote before you give your opinion, so that it'll align with the majority of the listeners.
Well, look,
I think that would work the best.
You know. Rorschach is a watchmaker in the movie. Okay, that's why it's named The Watchman. So I don't know what he's talking about. And that whole, like, if the movie's not about Rorschach, I don't know why they got him running through, like, fields of flowers, and he met the girl, and they fell in love, and, like, she started the chocolate factory, and you know, all of a sudden...
What the hell?
You remember? Because they, like... Well, it starts with the lady, and then she meets him, and they're in Paris, and she has the chocolate factory, and she learned how to make it in Mexico, right? And then and she, like... She gets the whole town high on chocolate, because they're all basically...
That's right,
doing cocaine. And, yeah, that's totally... Watchmen, that's what it's about. So, I don't know... I don't remember that line... I don't think... I think
that was in the extended director's cut, right?
Well, the whole, you see, Dr. God didn't kill that little girl. I mean, and Johnny Depp playing Rorschach, I mean, he was awesome, you know? I thought that, you know, you just got to think of, you know, Johnny Depp saying that. But anyway, you know, hey, please don't get your wife to kill me. Okay, good deal. Search yourself out, Tayshawn and Sim. Having a bit of a problem with my parents. This one's classic.
That's very common.
I'm having a bit of a problem. Kill them. No, okay, I'm kidding. Don't do that.
Kill them.
I'm having a bit of a problem with my parents. In Alberta, I know, I want to move as soon as possible out of the void. No, you're not in the void. Saskatchewan is the void. You are in Alberta.
One more over.
Alberta's making money and stuff. Anyway, I know I want to move out of here as soon as possible. The media has been pushing huge FUD campaign regarding the H1N1 virus. Not sure if it's the same in BC. However, our provincial government has been pushing immunization. I really do not want to receive this immunization due to the fact we cannot be 100% certain that what they're putting into the vaccine. But my parents are being very forceful and are demanding that I receive immunization. How do you think I should approach this? And explain to them the potential dangers of immunization from this kind of condition. Thanks, Tyrant 001. Well, first of all, Tyrant, I'm assuming that you're of legal age. Because if you're of legal age and you just happen to be living at home and you're having a problem with your parents, you know, it's just a matter of convincing your parents that, you know, for the easiest way, that you're not getting the immunization. If, in fact, you are a minor, you will do as you're goddamn told. Okay? Sorry. Hate to give that one to you. But if you're a minor, sorry, buddy. Can't help you. You're fucked.
You're kind of foobard.
Yeah. Nothing you can really do. I mean, I'm sure that... you know, sometimes things get mixed.
You could do some stuff, but it'll be come to no good end, really, usually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I was, like, maybe they have it at the school, or maybe your parents think they have it at the school, and then you get the immunization, but you really didn't, but you tell them they did because you got it at school. You could try something like that.
Yeah, that's the way.
Because you're not really breaking, I'm like, oh, and then, you know, if they call the school to check, you'd have to have, like, you know, a couple of, that's one way, because that's how I used to, you know, get out of all my shit. otherwise, you know, like if you were going to dodge parent-teacher meetings or something, you know, I mean, how would you get around that, right?
So you just tell everybody, oh, I already got it. Yeah, I already got it yesterday.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, I already got one. I told them I already got one.
Oh, you know? My arm is sore. And put a little Band-Aid over your arms. Where they say, hey, guess what? Like, oh, yeah, I already got it.
There's a guy on the street corner shooting people up with flu virus, and I got me a hit. So I've had all the dead flu virus I can possibly want shot into my arm. Again, though, if you're a minor, do as you're goddamn told. Okay. Now,
or you could also fight them with statistics and show them how unlikely it is that you'll ever receive the virus. No?
Won't work. Statistics,
because they've been convinced by the media, right?
Statistics just reinforce. That's what statistics
do. I don't know.
Do.
It's such a low chance and a low amount of people that have actually gotten this that the chance of you dying from it is much lower than the chance of you actually getting something bad, possibly from being immunized.
Oh, so what?
You can put them on a scale and see which wins out.
Oh, I see. So the risk from the vaccine is greater than the risk from the flu, is what you're telling me here.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Or it's equal, or, you know, just try and trot out some science to them and see how it stacks up. I mean, if it's not a good percentage, well, you can't really do much with the statistics, but I'm sure there's something out there you could look at.
True. And, of course, they're going to question your source, right? If you say you got it off of the interwebs, don't say that. Say you got it from Scientific American, even if it's from the Scientific American website. Quote the site name, not the internet, because the minute you say the internet, shit, you got this show off the internet. No one's going to listen to me, okay? So, like, seriously, you got to have, you know, more citation needed, as the good people say. So make sure you back that up. And,
if you're of age, well, then you don't have to take it. You might get some flack from your parents, but you don't have to take it.
Yeah, you don't. And clearly you are of age, but if you want to convince them in a nice way that you've already had it, so your parents don't live in panic, that you're going to die in some shitty way with, you know, bad chemicals streaming out of your eyes, then you can lie to them like a cheap rug and tell them that, you know, you already got one. So that would be my counsel to you. You know, go from there. I had a sort yourself out a couple of weeks ago about a kid who was really upset with his mom, because his mom had this, and this is her, I was going to read it on the air, and I can't remember if I did or not, to be really honest with you, because there's so many.
What was it about?
It was about a fellow who's upset with his mom, you know, and I always remember that, because it's kind of like, sometimes with your parents, you can't control them, but, you know, and it's your parents' responsibility to control you, and if you're not of legal age, then chances are they might know a thing or two that you don't. So, you know,
most likely,
I would generally tell people to listen to their parents over me, as a general rule, unless, you know, their parents
unless they're
you know, reading the Bible, you know, 24 hours a day, and, you know,
they're trying to drown the demons out of you or something like that.
If they're trying to light you on fire, don't listen to them, because they may not have your best interest at heart, you know.
No matter what scripture they quote from what
you
book.
Know, I don't care what your book says, you know, Dad, but, you know, I really don't care. You're the only father I got, and I'm going to drop you if you come near me. So that's what's going on here.
That's how it works.
I've got this bat here. Anyway, in Mindbender news. Now, this is interesting. A leading expert in chemical and biological arms control called on Wednesday for urgent efforts to stop new mind-altering drugs developed for medical purposes from being adopted by the military for use in warfare. So some whistleblowers like, stop! In an article in the United States Journal Nature, British academic Malcolm Dando, who died Thursday in a bee sting accident in his house. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. British academic Malcolm Dando, soon to be the late Malcolm Dando, said civilian research... Like, who could you fuck with here? Let's take on the military-industrial complex. No. Let's take on pharma-fascism. Wait! Let's do both! Let's take on the pharma-fascist military-industrial complex.
Need a challenge?
Malcolm Dando, who's got balls that clank, said that civilian researchers in many countries seem largely unaware of the danger and urged quick action to adapt key arms pacts to head it off. In the past 20 years, modern warfare has changed from a predominantly large-scale clashes to armies of armies to messy civil strife, wrote Dando, citing Bosnian conflict in the mid-90s and the current fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan, which is, you know, and Africa and pretty much the rest of the planet. Chemical agents and even gene therapy is being developed in civilian life science laboratories are particularly suited to this style of warfare. It's not hard to find people in the military who think that they would be useful. Dando, professor of international security at Britain's Bradford University, is a regular participant in the UN-sponsored arms conference and is due in Geneva next week for meetings of experts on the 1972 Biological Weapons Pact. But in Nature, he said his attention should be focused on the 1993 Global Chemical Weapons Convention. The CWC urgently needs modifying if it's continue to help ensure that modern life sciences are not being used for hostile purposes, he wrote. Well, this is really funny because, first of all, he's part of the UN, which is, in fact, the most nutless organization that ever was. So he can write whatever the hell he wants. Okay, he can write, he can make mandates, and they can put three-ring binders in there, and they can, oh, shit, you can, you know, wow. You
make 100 copies and pass it around.
Pass it around, and we'll be ratifying things, and oh, my God. And people in Africa all will still be dying, and opium will still be being produced, because unless you're willing to back that shit up with some serious firepower, you're just making noise. And that's all these people do. But what we are getting as a takeaway from this article, Sim, is that they are definitely doing, as I've talked about before, in the afternoon, not to blow my own horn, but of course now we're getting into the military application of, both psychological and physical drugs.
Genetically targeting chemical agents. This is frightening.
And not only for the enemy, for your own troops, right? This is super soldier serum.
Yeah.
This is the spiders. This is, using gene therapy to make your combat soldiers see better at night kind of a thing. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about, handing out the drugs, red, white, and blue for the boys. My pills have little flags on them, that's...
Why would they stop now? They've been doing that secretly throughout the ages. Like, what...
Well,
how are they going to stop that?
Well, okay, how they're going to stop it is not the UN's problem. They just want to stand up and say, that's bad, Unless, of course, it's genocide, in which case they won't actually call genocide bad. Well, they'll call genocide bad. They just won't call genocide.
Because then they'd have to take action.
But the point here is...
That's the only time they actually step in, right?
Which?
Is genocide, but they don't like labeling it. The UN, right?
Well, no, see, that's why they didn't step in Rwanda, is because they didn't call it genocide. It's never really been called genocide, even though, they killed people 10 times more effectively than the Nazis killed Jews. Yeah, that wasn't genocide. No, no. And it wasn't the UN's mandate to protect that. No. Critical fucking failure by the UN. The UN is a joke. So that's why I'm like, people are like, the UN is going to invade Texas and take everybody hostage and kill everyone. And I'm like, dude, the UN couldn't find its ass with both its hands in its back pockets, okay? Seriously, you give me 15 guys from a Texas bar and I will rout the UN, okay? Like, don't fucking step to me. Yeah, who's going to do that? Who is going to do that? Anyway, regardless. But what we do have here is we have a solid confirmation from some very smart people that, guess what? Combat drugs are in use. The after now is well on its way. Thank you for confirmation.
Well, I guess this is a good use of the UN, is to expose things that countries are doing that are bad.
Yes, for all the massive media coverage.
Because they have a pretty big voice. People listen to them. People hear them. They make the paper. So this is useful. They've done something useful.
Yeah, I'd like to get more bang for my buck, please.
a little bit.
not to piss all over the UN, but yeah, zip. Anyway, in default robot BIOS news. At the IGCAI workshop on robotics last month, Brian Gerkley from the open source robotics startup Willow Garage gave a talk with the inspirational title, Toward a Robot App Store. This meme should be spread. The idea of a robot app store has a powerful short-term value, also a rather dramatic longer-term implications. Gregory's talk focused on the nitty-gritty. Willow Garage has launched a piece of open-source software called ROS, robot operating system that serves as a framework for integrating various bits of software code needed to make robots operate. ROS is not the first such framework. Player, for instance, is widely used and serves the same function, but has a clean and elegant design and has some technical advantages over its predecessors. Besides putting ROS out there for everyone to use, Willow is using ROS to power open source robot called PR2, Personal Robot 2, which is partially complete now. It should launch sometime in the near future, though a specific date hasn't yet been set. Right now, cobbled together various pieces of software is needed to make a robot making a robot is a very complex process. So what this guy's done is he's made an overarching operating system framework so that people can make, so he set a robotic standard, which is open source, and he's trying to evolve it. He's trying to do the Linux thing with a robot operating system. And you know what? I know he's not the only cat doing it, but he's getting some press here, and it seems like it's a pretty good idea. And he got a picture of his robot there, and it's a pretty skookum-looking little robot. So, you know.
Awesome.
You know, I think
it's a great idea.
It is a good idea, and because that's
why... It'll put the power into the hands of the masses, and people can add to it and develop it and make it into what they want.
Well, you betcha. You betcha.
And then they need to come out with, like, a hardware side of things like this, where you can just plug in modules and make your robot. Here's some legs, here's some tracks, here's the brain, here's some sensors, plug and play everything you want, and make it the Lego of robots, and load up the operating system into it, and you got a robot to go.
Perfect. And, I mean, think about how much time, and people are like, no one's going to do that. Well, dude, car stereos. Okay, car stereos. Do you know how much time and effort people put into their car stereos?
A robot
is, like, infinitely cooler than a car stereo, especially if that robot can do stuff. Like, your spouse would sit there and be like, why are you building a robot? Until the very first time that robot goes and gets her something or him something, in which case they'll be like, dun, ta-da! You know, robots are cool. Yeah, no shit. You know, thanks for joining the club.
Yeah. Like some beverage recognition software. Open fridge, find specific beverage, and bring it to you.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention
and
the
that's a perfect application.
Yeah, and not to mention a firm partnership with Real Doll, which is on the way. You know, that's the...
somebody's waiting for that. Yeah.
First dude who makes a fembot, man, you are going to make money. Money, money, money. They will not be able, like, oh my God. Like, think about it. Let's say you could make fembots, right? And they're just like, literally, they're just rubber, right? They're rubber people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they've got the material already. They just need the guts and the brains.
What did they call that in... it was that robot movie that Spielberg made where they had Ministry.
AI?
Yeah, AI. And they had the robot rodeo, or what was it, the robot roundup, where they take all the robots and they, like, kill them and they cut them apart and smash them.
Because they're not human.
Because they're not human. That's what I'm thinking, you know. You got to have, like, the fembot, you know, hunting thing where you how deranged did that get? You know what I mean? Like,
flesh fair.
Flesh fair. That's what it was. Yeah.
That would be deranged. I mean, they have a simulation. I mean, we reported on that like 5-7 years ago where they did a simulation of female hunting, but it was like with
paintballs.
With paintballs, right?
Yeah.
So
and apparently
you just put fembots instead, and then you could put a gun in their hands.
Oh yeah. And not to mention all the movie realistics. I mean, that's what we should do. Seriously, we should do that for Burning Man. The next time we do go back to Burning Man, we're going to go back to Burning Man with flesh fair. And it'll just be like, you know, we'll have like some real dolls.
Create robots and destroy them. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And we'll just like have it, and people will be like, you know, we'll have it all rehearsed. We'll get the guys from the
Get the chainsaws out.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It's pretty
That
sweet.
Would gather some attention.
It would.
That would gather
it
some
would.
Attention.
And you know, it's always good to give back. It's always good to give back.
It's true.
In framing news, now this is pretty disturbing stuff. Scientists in Israel have demonstrated that it's possible to fabricate DNA evidence, undermining the credibility of what has been considered the gold standard for proof in criminal cases. The scientists fabricated blood and saliva samples containing DNA from a person other than the donor of the blood and saliva. They also showed if they had access to a DNA profile in a database, they could construct a sample of the DNA to match the profile without obtaining any tissue from that person. So, that means that now, all this DNA profiling, all these huge DNA databases, we can frame you now. You know? Yeah. Because let's be
real. Another reason...
Oh, yeah.
Not to have a DNA database unless you're convicted of a crime.
Well, not only that, but this brings, like, okay, first of all, the problem, the thing that everyone's going to say is, well, only government agencies have access to that. But let's say we've got someone who's a political dissenter. Okay, somebody who's causing a lot of problems, okay? Well, we're going to pick up, we'll just snatch and grab some child prostitute somewhere, fabricate some DNA, have them raped and killed, thrown in a ditch in the end of the street. We'll get some DNA evidence off of them, run it all through the labs. All you got to do is get a Dirty Tricks team to deliver the body, and the police will do everything else legally. If you can create a window, which is not hard to do, where a guy could get framed because he doesn't have any alibis, or worse, you put people planted near him who say he's not there. You know what I mean? Like, he's in a restaurant, you have five people planted in the restaurant that say, no, he wasn't in that restaurant. And I know, because I was walking around and blah, blah, blah. Bang. Buddy gets framed, and that's it for you. You go to federal ass-ram prison for child rape, and you won't even make it out of the truck. You know, you'll just...
And it's really easy to get somebody's DNA off of them. You just pick a coffee cup out of the garbage that they have been sucking on, and there's your DNA.
Yeah, you got it. You know, so little bit scary there with the replicated DNA. It's funny, you know... With even you brought that up the other day when we were talking about that guy who was like assaulted the girl or whatever, and then they put it out on the news and they're like, get him, he's a child predator, and everyone's like, whoa! It was like 28 days later on the guy.
Kill.
Which, you know, from my perspective, I thought it was funny because, you know, he's a pedophilic piece of shit and, you know, deserve what he gets. But on the flip side to that, the flip side to that, of course, is, you know, the rational side of my brain.
Is what if it was you?
Yeah, where it's like, whoa, wait a minute, you know, which is, you know, suddenly you have the end of the Twilight Zone music, and it's like, oh, the irony, you know, but I don't know how that would really...
Sean gets chased down the street.
Like, chased down the street 28 days later, screaming, child rapist. Yes, oh, the irony, oh.
And everybody on the news would be, isn't it so ironic that he always spoke out against this kind of thing?
Isn't it ironic?
He was...
It's like the Arlington Road. You ever see that? Arlington Road with the terrorists, the homegrown terrorists, and everyone's in on it.
No, it's really good.
Yeah, it's kind of an intense... It's a bit different. It's not. I would say it's really good. District 9
But it's got something
really
to
good.
It, obviously.
Yes. Arlington Road is not good. You know, which we should now mention District 9.
Yes, District 9. We both saw it this past Saturday.
Okay, so...
And we both enjoyed it.
Compare it to a movie that you liked as much as you like District 9. Like, you know, give me another movie you liked as much as you liked
it. I mean, I didn't think it was perfect. I didn't think it was perfect.
No, of course not. Nothing's perfect. Nothing's perfect. Aliens wasn't perfect. Whatever. They did what they could.
It was near perfect.
It was pretty goddamn good. I put it up there with... go ahead.
I can't think of a movie that I would compare to. It's not like in my top tier of movies, like, oh my god... I'm probably not going to buy the movie, so it's not in that realm.
I would probably give the movie an 8. I would give the first Matrix a 9, just the first one. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't give tens. So it's
you
not,
never ever give tens.
I never give tens. There's a couple.
Always increasingly closer to 10, but never 10, because that means nobody can make a movie better.
On that scale, like Apocalypse Now is a 9. Full Metal Jacket is a 9. This movie is an 8. I liked it better than... It's
got a lot of things going for it.
It does.
It
might even be a 9. I would say I liked it better than Blair Witch. And I really liked Blair Witch. When that came out, for what it was, I mean, that was revolutionary. And it's probably even to this day.
Yeah, with fresh eyes, Blair Witch is very creative, very inventive.
Should have got an Oscar. The chick running that thing, the chick crying in the camera, should have got an Oscar. That was some of the most convincing shit ever, and she totally got
it. Very believable.
Yeah, I mean, how do you fake that?
Yeah.
You know, like, seriously, that was like nuts. But anyway, District 9, go see it. Oh, so sexy.
It's well set up, well acted. It's very creative. It's well worth going seeing in the theater.
Accurate webbing. I have the webbing. So yeah, they were spot on with the gear. I want to know what kind of trucks they were driving. There's the big four-wheel drive trucks that are like the anti-mine vehicles, but then there's the cool little 4x4 looking ones with like the bars on the window. I want to know what those are.
Well,
I want
one. It's African vehicles, I guess. I'm not sure where they got them from.
Probably Africa, I would think. So, yeah. You know, I'm just thinking, hey, I want to...
We've never seen them before, so...
Yeah, I want to I want to see them. I want one. They're pretty hot. With the bars and everything, I drive it to work. It'd be sweet. You know, I'm just anticipating, you know, because realistically, after now state, you know, let's look at Africa. You know, shit survives in Africa. It's probably pretty good stuff. You know, that's why I like
it. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's for sure. I mean, like Tasmanian Tiger, for example. Tasmanian Tiger is a company, I think they're out of Germany, that makes gear for the Australian SAS, but they make stuff for the civilian market as well. So, you know, if the Aussies like it, it's probably pretty good, you know? Mm-hmm. Generally, so
that's a rough area too. Lots of heat,
a vehicle from South Africa that's battle tested, and people down there who know what's going on like it. Yeah, I'm interested in what that truck is. You betcha. But anyway, speaking of South Africa and other, you know, totally destroyed, screwed over, burned out police states and such. In arcology news, SimCity players will recognize the term Arco, which is short for arcology, because arcology is too big of a word to put at the beginning of the article. A massive building that contains all the elements of the city within one structure. Now, three ambitious architectural firms have designed a 1,200-foot-tall arco, especially for New Orleans, called, check it out, the Noah New Orleans Archaeological Habitat. It's Noah's Ark. That's hot. This massive triangular-shaped building would be as strong... would be as strong as those leaking New Orleans levees were weak. Okay, that's painful. The proposal
that is painful.
The proposal places this 30 million. You know, I feel really good about my book. You know,
every time you read articles, they're just so awkwardly worded and bad puns.
Read this out loud? Did you read this shit out loud to yourself before you submitted this? I mean, I'm just some swinging asshole out here on the web. You know, you just got nothing better to do. Okay, but you're paid for this. You know?
I mean, this must be where the bad writers land. Yeah. I mean, this is the funnel where they end up at the bottom.
Well, you know, don't say that. These guys are already drinking themselves to sleep every night anyway. Let's not feed it.
That's true. They have a rough time now.
Well, you know, hey, guys, work on the novel. It's worth it. You're smarter than you think you are. Okay, you really are.
Tune in your off time. You can do it.
Yeah, you know, the editor's wrong.
And if anything, it'll make your articles better, if nothing else, right?
Yeah, just, you know, listen to some storytellers or something. Anyway, the proposal places this 30 million square foot monstrosity on the Mississippi Riverfront, just across from the Central Business District of New Orleans. There's an animation there on the website. When you look at it, it totally looks like some shit out of Appleseed. It's the most Appleseed-looking structure in the history of the world. Atop the multi-cavity, all of which will be hurricane-proof, which that term really cracks me up. There'll be 20,000 residential units, three hotels, a million square feet of commercial space, plenty of cultural facilities, and offices, a 20,000-foot health care clinic, or a 20,000 health care clinic, and of course, just for fun, a trio of casinos. The green gestures will be bristling with solar panels, water turbines, wind turbines, and fresh water recovery. Drink your pee. And massive solar glazing system. Now all these optimistic architects need to do is find somebody with enough money to build such a fantastic utopia. So, and that's really it. I mean, but
yeah, we made a sketch of it. Please give us money.
Well, they've knocked onto it. They got it right there. There's three casinos in there. Right?
Huh. Well, I'm looking at the picture. It's quite a structure. It's very interesting.
It's like a
four-sided die, right? Yeah. But the center is hollow.
Yeah, it's a big pyramid, pretty much.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I think, I think you could fund that with casinos. I mean, because, hell, they already built this massive... it couldn't have cost more to build than the Luxor did. So, you know.
Oh, no. For sure.
I mean, it's interesting...
But this is huge. This is massive. It looks like it could take off into space if given the right amount of fuel.
Now you're talking... See, now you're making sense, right?
I mean, if space aliens landed near there, they'd be going, oh, well, that wouldn't get back home if our ship never takes off.
Yeah, just go with it. Just go with it, you know. Maybe that's what we should do. Maybe we should rip off their design, Baldy. We'll go rip off their design for the new Second Life pyramid. Anyway.
There you go.
Cyberpunk kit. Now, there's more and more of this coming out here. Now, this one was sent in to me by Fat Ninja, and I kept his title for it. Body mod. It's a body mod in spontaneous human combustion news. Now, this is interesting. Brown fat. Now, this is the fat that burns regular fat. I guess there's a fat that eats other fats, okay, that exists within your body. They say that 50 grams of brown fat in your body burns 500 calories per day, and hint that it's possible to lipo out your regular white fat and turn it into brown fat and then reimplant it. Brown fat's role in heat generation is also known as thermogenesis, has been extensively studied by animal physiologists. What could possibly go wrong? Let's get some fat bastards, suck out all his fat, feed him back in with brown fat, and oh my god, he caught fire! It turns out that brown fat cells have unusual mitochondria, tiny structures found in almost all cells that release energy from food. In the vast majority of cells, this energy is either stored up or used to power cellular processes. The mitochondria in brown fat, however, contain a protein called thermogenin, an uncoupled protein 1, which causes energy to dissipate as heat. This is a tissue's sole purpose is burning energy, says Francesco Selle, a researcher with the U.S. National Institutes of Health. Khan's team, Khan, is focusing on the compound called morphogenic protein 7, or BMP7, that's the protein, not the British military vehicle. Pardon me, Russian military vehicle, also known as osteogenic protein 1. It is, oh shit, they should have just said that. Osteogenic protein 1, I know osteogenic protein 1, is best known for promoting the formation of bone and cartilage, and is genetically engineered version used in bone surgery. So the whole premise here is, you know, what could possibly go wrong? You know, let's just replace your body fat with fat that burns fat, and when we run out of fat that burns fat, I'm not really sure what we'll do then, but maybe you'll be able to live at Krispy Kremes all the time, and won't that be fun? Hooray!
That's right.
More Krispy Kremes for me. Yeah,
you have to keep eating donuts so you don't catch fire. Humans that have been injected with this seem to run at 20 degrees hotter.
What a bizarre fucking dream. Could you imagine that? Like, I have to eat donuts or I die.
You know. Or I start catching fire.
You know, or I light on fire. I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could really get in on that one though. But you know, whatever. You know what? I lied to you. It wasn't Fat Ninja who sent that in. It was Crunch. I lied.
Oh,
it was a vicious lie. It was Crunch, not
Fat
Ninja.
It was horrible.
Ninja. Yeah, I had to
slander.
I had to drop over to the other one. So sorry, Crunch, and sorry, Fat Ninja. Fat Ninja would never take any credit from you that he didn't want to do for himself. Okay, here we go. It can't happen here. Now, you ready for this one? This is the money shot, Sim. This is it. That's why there's no number next to it on the show format, because it was a last-minute addition. Yeah, this one
snuck it in.
This one's horrible. This is a horrible story. This is one of those stories where I sit back and I go, I fucking told you so. I've been telling you so for months. That's why I report on this shit here on Newsreel. It can't happen here news. When stars need... Okay, I got to get through this. When stars need to wean their bodies off of excess of alcohol or drugs, they waft off to the Betty Ford Center or the Priory in London. Now, those who have allowed gaming or the web to take over their lives have their own place of salvation in the United States. The Havensfield Retreat Center, in the kindly named Fall City near Seattle, claims to have the first internet addiction detox program in the United States, called Restart, which I think they should have named it Reboot, but that's okay.
Restart,
it essentially offers a 45-day detox from the need to socially network and game until you find your mind and fingers are more numb than the Jonas Brothers fan after a concert.
That's good. That's so good.
That's clever. Who are the Jonas Brothers?
What a good simile. Some Disney creation that sprays foam upon the crowd.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
Did the Juggalos do that? Are these guys Jonas Brothers Juggalos? That'd be hot.
Could be.
St. Clown Posse should open for the Jonas Brothers. That'd be rad. Anyway, for $14,500, you too can be saved from yourself and your virtual world.
Saved from your money.
Saved from your money. However, the criteria that the center uses to define internet addiction makes for some interesting reading. The first, for example, is, do you have a strong desire or impulse to use the internet? End quote. Yes, I do. I would have thought that this was the most important element we should all be checking by now. And who among us could resist blogging about it afterwards? Here's criteria number four. Use of the internet in spite of its harmful effects. Despite knowledge of harmful effects, internet use is hard to stop. You know, do we really know how much the web is harming us? Isn't it supposed to be enlightening us, bringing us close together, and turning us into a human informational machines for the singularity age? You know,
yes,
the future and stuff. But, of course, no. Now, just like China, we have our first internet rehab center. Hooray! And, you know, just like... And these aren't new. I mean, the back-end control center, back in the day when Jell-O was talking about it.
Oh,
that's where,
yeah.
Your kid's not listening to you? Give them to us. We'll break their fucking back. You know, we'll put the Johnny on his fucking knees. I guarantee it. You know, we'll brutalize that.
Oh, yeah,
that
this is
prick.
Same...
You know, go ahead.
Same back-end, different name.
Yeah.
Same people running the show, and they've just rebranded it with internet instead of D&D, instead of heavy metal music, instead of just keep rebranding it and send your kids over and pay them gobs of money to whip them back into mindless drones that you can send off to school.
And like what Tender says, man, here come the drugs! Look out, we're going to dope the shit out of your kid.
To drugs!
You betcha, trade your gloom for a rubber room and injections twice a day. You betcha. Not a problem. And a million points to anyone who gets that quote, because that's pretty obscure, that particular quote right there.
You do,
but it's pretty obscure. It's actually from a song that the Joker sings in a comic called The Killing Joke. He sings this song, which is a pretty...
I've
spot it again and read it again. And one of the songs is, one of the lyrics is, you know, don't be glum, trade your gloom for a rubber room and injections twice a day. It's awesome. Very
nice.
Good stuff. Now, I don't know, Sim. Should we, like, go down to Seattle, break in and, like, you know, free these people or what?
Unshackle them?
Yeah.
I mean, it won't help because this is their parents that sent them. And, I mean, you have to really do what your parents tell you to do. And this is tough. I mean, if you're, like, 18 or older, really, are you going there because your parents told you you're going there? I don't know. This is a tough thing.
It is a tough thing. I mean, that said, now, I know a guy...
The best thing we could do is expose these people and maybe dig a little deeper into who controls them and what they used to be and what they are now and the similarities between them
and what they're doing to kids. Hang on now. We're kind of damning them a little bit before we hear anything. You know, I mean, granted, the whole thing's kind of offensive. The whole thing is kind of offensive, you know. But
go ahead.
Well, I got a buddy who's got a brother, and this guy doesn't come out of the basement. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he really doesn't. Dude doesn't come out of the basement. And he's like, you know, in his mid-20s, doesn't show any signs of changing, you know. And do you have a right to influence that? I mean, if he's living on his own, if he's living in the parents' house or whatever, I suppose it turns into a bit of a touchy subject. But, you know, is it wrong to live in the basement?
Maybe he's enjoying himself. Maybe he chose that for himself. Maybe he was having fun before out with friends, and he went, forget this. This is not worth it.
Yeah.
Sit in the basement and live in the virtual world.
Right, and I'll buy me a real doll and stay in the corner. You know, whatever. I mean, that's
real life sucks. People are killing each other and horrible to each other, but in the second life, they're wonderful, and I can be whoever I want. Maybe that's where they want to live.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. You know, and although it's not a choice that I would make, there's a lot of choices that people make that I don't really understand. And I guess if they're not hurting themselves, like in a real and physical way, I guess they should be allowed to do what they want. But if you're a minor, you know, you got no rights. So screw you,
nope.
Kid. You're done.
Camp with you.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a. It's a fine line. I think people understand, like, I think the difference between an addict and someone who's just having a good time is if you're self-sufficient, you know what I mean? If you're self-sufficient and, you know, you're able to exist and all you do is work in the comic store, go upstairs and log on to Second Life and you're having the time of your life eating chips and hanging with your friends and fucking more power to you, man. Don't listen to these people.
Yep.
You know, if you're happy, man, that's the ball game. You know, that's it. You know, you gotta, if maybe...
But I mean, if you have kids and you're neglecting your kids or you're not eating properly and it's taking over your life, it's consuming you like one step at a time, you have a problem. That is an addiction.
And maybe you need to, you know, nerf your stuff. But I'm just saying, you know, it's hard, you know, it's hard. But I tell you, if my kid wouldn't get out of the basement, you know, should I be so incredibly cursed to spawn? If I had a child and they wouldn't come out of the basement, then I think I'd just shoot them, personally. I'd probably just, you know, start throwing thunder flashes down into the basement until he either comes out or dies down there. That would be... Try that. Try that, kids. You just got to find a source for thunder flashes. When you find one, let me know. Now,
and you got to see it from the other angle, too. I mean, some of these kids, like, that were in the 80s and 90s that did stay in the basement and stayed on their computer for all hours of the night and day are now, like, millionaires and billionaires because they know everything inside out and have developed amazing programs.
Well, there's that side of it, too.
So are you preventing future geniuses from their tool of the trade?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a good argument. There's an argument to be made for that. You know, there really is.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, generally speaking, you have to take this on a case by case basis. You can't just make a blanket like this. Maybe a center like that it could be a good thing. There's only one way it could be a good thing, and there's lots and lots and lots of ways that it could be a bad thing. So I'm really, I'm cautious because there's only one right way to do that, and there's a whole lot of wrong ways to do that. And that's when you start talking. If they start putting putty on the sides of your head and looping up little electrodes and stuff, it's time to fucking go, all right? Like, seriously. Just be like, oh my God, look over there, and jump through the window. Yeah, absolutely. Pick up the toilet, throw it through the wall, and run like the chief to the hills. That's what I say. Now, daily hacks. Got a daily hack here. This one is kind of neat, Sim. I don't know. From a networking perspective, it's kind of cool. It's a thing called StreamFile, also sent in by Crunch. And what it is, if you've got a file up to 150 megs, which is pretty big, really, when you
it's
think about
bad.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's you could break a larger file down into 150 meg chunks if you needed to. You know, like most small files that you'd shoot on a camera something like that, you could break her down. But what it does is you start uploading a file, get the link, and you give the people, you send a bunch of people an email, they get click on the link, and it creates a tunnel through the website that they just grab the... grab the data before it's even finished uploading, so you can transfer files that way through the web. It's called StreamFile. Pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like a simplified torrent type of idea.
Right.
That's just, you don't have to have a torrent client, because that's what torrents do. Like, you could start a torrent, and people grab bits as you send them out.
Right.
But it looks like StreamFile stores these, because you could, like, stop and turn off your computer after you're done, and they store the 150 megabyte file.
So it's kind of like a cross between like a BitTorrent and a newsgroup site.
A file. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like an ultra-privatized newsgroup, kind of. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Selective newsgroup. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting hack of the day. Thank you very much. Crunch.
Make sure you encrypt whatever you're putting up there, because you're sending it to a company, and they're storing it on their servers.
Yes,
so if you don't want
nice
them
people,
looking
well,
at
we
it...
We don't know. Yeah, they claim to be nice.
Yeah. We don't know them personally, so, you know.
So, save your data. Okay. And now, this is your recommendation today. Now, we talked about this before, but this is actually really cool. Now, MIT has gone... for full pull in free mad scientist training. This is fucking cool. The Massachusetts Institute of Technology has begun the most revolutionary experiment in the history of education, stretching all the way back to the pharaohs. It now gives away its curriculum to anyone smart enough to learn it. It's posted its curriculum online for free. These days, that means a staggering 1,900 courses, and the number will grow. This is proof to the academic world that MIT regards its program as the best and dares any other institution to prove otherwise. Where everyone can see and compare, the free site validates that MIT t-shirt, Harvard, because not everyone can get into MIT. Oh, snap!
Oh.
MIT has publicly stiffed its main rival for the title of Best Science University on Earth. That rival is the California Institute of Technology. Caltech will be forever play catch-up to MIT online. It will be We Too Online University. Oh, shit. Students around the world can see for themselves that MIT has what it takes to be the best. They can test drive the entire curriculum. So rather than the big ivory tower posturing that says, MIT! I went to MIT, which is better than being a U.S. Marine, but, you know, it's similar in the same sort of mentality and brainwashing that we use. You know, so I think that's great. But bottom line is you can learn stuff, figure out what direction you want to go in school so you don't have to waste a whole lot of money.
That is awesome. Free learning.
Yeah. So there you go. Have that for some Recmedia as well. This is a really interesting one, too, that you should check out from the very good people at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, where, honest to God, you really should give those guys some money. Okay? So if you're one of those kind of people that give people money, right after you give some to us, please head over to the FF. Actually, you know, yeah, you can head over there anyway. Just go see those guys. Give them a couple bucks because it's people like them that keep people like us on the air. Now, who knows where you are and why? This is the other piece of Recmedia. Over the next decade, systems which create and store digital records of people's movements throughout public space will be woven inextricably into the fabric of everyday life. We're already starting to see such systems now, and there'll be many more more in the near future. Here are some examples you might already have seen or read about. You've got your monthly transit swipe cards, electronic tolling devices, cell phones, big one, GPS and everyone, services telling you where your friends are nearby, searches on your PDA for services businesses near your current location, free Wi-Fi with ads for business near the network access point you're using, electronic swipe cards for doors, parking meters that you can add money to, which send you a text message when your time is running out. These systems are all marvelously innovative, and they promise benefits ranging from increased convenience to transformative new kinds of social interaction, which whatever the fuck that means. But anyway, unfortunately, these symptoms pose... Like, what is that? Transformative new kinds of social interaction. Like, what? Like, okay, you know, I walk up to Sim, and I used to just be like, hey, Sim, you know, shake hands. Now I walk up, and it's like, we're merging, oh, God. It's like the thing on the street corner for 20 minutes. You're like, thanks very much for my transformative new kind of social interaction. Anyway,
I didn't sign up for this.
Oh, my God, my cells. Anyway, unfortunately, these systems pose a dramatic threat to location privacy. So the EFS has this document, not to shit on the EFF for transformative new kinds of social interaction, but I don't know. I just thought that
was funny. This is worrying. I mean, people don't think about it, that they are tracked whether they like it or not. They're signing up to be tracked by all of this full list is kind of scary. Once they merge into one massive database or they create links between each other, they just need to know your primary key and they can make the database of you and track you everywhere you go all day long, every day, dating back to whenever. It's quite frightening, in fact.
Well, you know, and then they just replicate some DNA and you're bitched. I mean, for me personally, I've kind of threw in towel a while ago. I threw in the towel when I started using my real name, right? So I'm kind of like, oh yeah, I'm screwed. You know, and pretty much the first time you see me after I get arrested, Sim will be like, what are they saying? You know, because I don't know. What am I charged with? Oh, I killed the queen? Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Totally. Yeah. Well, and they got DNA evidence, too. Awesome sauce. Good deal.
Yeah,
well,
they did that,
you know,
too, yeah.
You know, see if you can get me, you know, out.
But that's the trade-off, the sacrifices we have to make for the peoples.
That's right. Thanks, Sim. Yeah, good deal. Well, hey, good talking to you. Try to get me some soap on a rope. Anyway, and with that cheery note, that's all we got for you today. But don't worry, barring prison, we will be back to you next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to this show or to the Electronic Frontier Foundation, please distribute this show to people who can donate to the Electronic Frontier Foundation and us, because that's how we stay alive. If you can donate, please do so by clicking on... Now, at the Rant Media site, at the new Rant Media site, Sim, where's the best way they can do that there?
To donate?
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Every single page has a button that says donate.
There you go. So just go to the...
Everywhere.
Everywhere. So just show up there and, you know, do your thing. That would be groovy. Or you can send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. And I have not one, but two digital baptisms this week, if you can believe that.
Ooh.
I haven't done digital baptism in a while now. Suddenly people want them. So Nate.
Excellent.
This is a good one. I got two good ones here. I got Nate is now blast femur, like femur as in the bone, and blast as in the bomb going off. But if you say it quick, it's like blast
femur. That is
good. I like
blast, blast femur.
Blast femur. Yeah, I like that one. And Dex, who I haven't talked to in a really long time, but it's good to hear from him, is now known as the Garroteer, as in a garrot, and like a mouseketeer, only being choked to death with a piece of wire with two loops on the end.
And, very nice.
Of course, Rant Media News. What do we got going on, Simi?
Oh, we've started up Rant Meets, monthly Rant Meets in
what?
Your area.
Coming soon. We're expanding in your area.
That's right. The first Friday of every month. So the first one coming up is September 4th, Friday, September 4th, 2009.
Any Mormon church has,
that's right.
Where the Rant Meet is.
Look,
go in there and
look
like,
for the big T, the big lowercase T, and head towards there, the one with the glowing neons.
Yeah, there you go.
Those are the good ones.
There'll be a dead Jew on it. Head for that. Head
that's right.
For the dead hanging Jew guy on the small T, and we'll be good to... No, it's not at a church. We're just making that shit up just to piss people off.
Yeah, check in the Rant forums, and if you don't see one in your area, make one in your area. Pick a location. If you're in a big urban area like, you know, New York or San Francisco or L.A., Seattle, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, any of those, you know, big places, there's going to be somebody else there. So maybe post anybody else here in my area and then pick a place to go to and people will start coming there.
Now,
we've already got a couple listed there right now, so
right.
You can see if yours is listed.
Now, the thing is, though, is that when I went to a couple 2600 meetings, it kind of sucked because nobody was really sure what they were doing. You know what I mean? Like nobody.
No, they just
really
sat there and
anything.
Said, look at this, yeah, hey.
Well, I mean, it was kind of cool. It'd be neat, though, to, I don't know, like if you're going to host it and you want to, like, I don't know, do something simple like Battleship. I mean, it's pretty funny to bring a game of chess with you. You know, sit down in a coffee shop, sit down and play chess with dudes. And maybe have team
brings
chess.
Some activities.
Yeah, or something
think of
like
things
that.
To do.
Or whatever. I mean, just think about it. And if you got any suggestions, actually, that's a good thing to put out to the mass consciousness. We got a bunch of guys getting together who may or may not know how to role play, which would be awesome. You know, and really motivates me to work on a role-playing game. But, yeah, maybe I'll just write a game for everyone. Right after I do all my other projects with my left hand. You know, maybe a fantasy game is a good idea, you know? That would be an easy way. A guy who is a dungeon master or a game master or gamekeeper or whatever the game would be. I mean, why not have a gaming group that meets once a month and make up characters, you know, use a real world scenario using whatever gaming system you want, create a character that's you and all your kit, and you start running post-apocalyptic scenarios, you know, get a game master and do it. I think that'd be probably one of the funnest.
If somebody's really ambitious, I mean, we're going to hop on the IRC, we're always going to be in Wi-Fi range, so we could do an international adventure game, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, make characters, decide on a game system, make characters with only your kit, and your game master does a zombie uprising. You know, maybe you die on the machine gun. Who knows? It'd be fun. But bottom line, it's an excuse to get together, start talking, and keep talking, which is always very...
Bring your laptops, bring your kit, bring some ideas, bring some friends.
Yes,
money. Have some fun. Meet some new people.
Yeah, bring money too.
Exchange money.
Yeah, no. If you're going to one of these places where you're going to meet, like at a coffee shop or something like that, spend money at the coffee shop. Waste money at the coffee shop. Because
then they won't kick you out. They'll like you. They'll want you back.
Yeah, and they'll want other WOGs back. You got to bear in mind.
They'll want more
like,
people.
Yeah, like you're an ambassador, man. If you're going to be doing this kind of stuff, walking around wearing the t-shirts and stuff, you decide how cool WOGs are. So if you want to be a jerk or you want to be like, you know, cool or whatever, that's the way people are going to view WOGs from now on. So you got to, you know, be aware of that. And I've just had, like, a failure happen on my browser, which is not so good.
Oh,
so
that's okay.
I'm hoping
you're still here. You're still broadcasting.
I'm
I can still hear you.
Still broadcasting, but I'm not too I can access my show format. I think I just lost my show format.
Well, I could do the end, if you want. And the funny thing at these meets is when you go to the meets and you get close to the meet and you start looking around and you can definitely see who's... Even if you've never met them before, you know that person's there for the meet.
Oh, yeah.
You could just tell.
Oh,
because you have a kinship, an automatic kinship with this person. You know they're into the same stuff as you. You know they're cool people. They're not like idiots hanging around.
Right.
They're awesome people. And it's I always find it really funny that you could pick them out immediately and you know they're really cool.
It is true. It is true. I'm kind of locked up here broadcasting blind, so it's up to you to wrap up the show.
Okay. I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send Sean, you can reach Sean at newsreel@rantradio.com. And also be sure to sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to Sim at info@rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, check out some Psytrance, because that's what Sean always puts.
I always put Psytrance, it's true.
And Sean's going to fade out now with a track from Newton Faulkner, who covers the Massive Attack song, Teardrop.
Yeah, this is actually really neat. This is a cool song. My buddy McSwain, who is an awesome writer, and the minute she finishes her goddamn book, we're going to be publishing on Rant Media, and I don't give a shit what Sim says, because it's awesome. No, I'm here to tell you, this person knows how to
Excellent.
Write.
Excellent. Great.
They don't write my
stuff. I believe
stuff. You. No, they don't write my stuff. They write...
Yep.
Kind of like Tom Robbins, like Skinny Legs and All, Still Life of the Woodpecker, that kind of stuff. So people who don't like, so for people who are like, I don't like Sean, he sucks. Well, that's okay. Take this book that Rant Media.
We've got an alternative.
Yeah, we have a book for you. You know, it's all cool. So yeah, anyway, she turned me on to this guy. And he does a cover of this, and it's a pretty good song. And I thought it was just a nice cover and a little bit different. Always try to do different things on for the outro music. So yeah, yeah. So
oh that's, yeah. That's Expose people is. To new stuff, new genres.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always cool music. So.
So you know, as long as you got it on there, I'm so close to having my format back. It's like my browser's like slowly dying on me. Oh, I've almost got it back. I can almost see the last few lines of the format. Don't leave me! Firefox! No!
You have 5 seconds.
Well, I know.
5 seconds.
What do you mean 5 seconds? I don't have 5 seconds. It's my show. What are we talking? Do. Ah, there we go. Remember, everyone, we'll never defeat the enemy. What's that? Talk about anticlimactic, okay? You know, I'd be like, oh, God, you know. Anyway, do you have anything else, Sam?
No, I don't.
No, you don't? Well, thank you very much for covering my sorry ass while my broke-ass browser, you know, carries on. So, and remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
Love is a verb. Love is a doing word. Fearless on my prayer. Gentle impulsion shakes me, makes me lighter, fearless on my prayer. Teardrop on the fire, fearless on my prayer. Water is my most faithful mirror, fearless on my brain. Teardrop on the fire of a confession, fearless on my brain. Most faithful on the fire, fearless on my brain.